We spend a lot of time in prayer because prayer is the key, Father, and I thank you for that, that you made it so, that you made it so that as we make a request known unto you, that you hear, you send answers, you respond, Father, and our faith towards you is uplifted every time that we pray. And we thank you that today, Lord, as we acknowledge who you are, we acknowledge the realm, the spiritual realm that we live in, as we acknowledge the battle that we're in, and Father, as we seek you for assistance in that we know that we have those prayers answered, Father. We thank you for being with us. Thank you for encouraging us. Thank you for loving on us. And thank you for sending Jesus and your Holy Spirit. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So let's start out with a scripture this morning right away. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. Many of you have heard the scripture. We may have memorized it or had it as part of our conversation at times, and I want to ask you some questions about this, but first let's read the scripture. Ephesians 6:12 said, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." So I ask you, how many people have ever heard, or other than today, have heard or read that verse before? Okay. So most of us have been there. Pretty much everybody has seen or heard that verse. It's in the Bible. If you read the New Testament, you probably come across that verse. How many people, the next question would be then, how many people actually believe that this verse is true? Okay, most people. So the kicker question is, if we have heard the verse, we believe the verse is true, so then the next question is, how many people actually live their life day to day like this is true? My hand might have to go down, because there's probably times where I start looking at flesh and blood, I start looking at things that are not maybe the spiritual realm that we live in, okay? My point is this, that if we live in a spiritual world in which we do not wrestle, we do not fight against flesh and blood, okay, people, but our battle is against spiritual powers, spiritual wickedness in high places, spiritual powers of darkness, then why do we so often choose to engage in conflict with flesh and blood? Okay, why do we fail to acknowledge the spiritual forces behind the scenes? Okay, why do we do that so often? And I'll help explain that, because we are bombarded with there's another way to deal with it all day long. Okay, and so instead of looking at the spiritual realm or what's happening behind that, I want to jump ahead of myself, but there's so much more happening behind the scenes. If you're having even like a bad day, right? Anybody have a bad day? Okay, not just a bad hair day. We have those all the time in Wyoming, except for Clay. But the rest of us have bad hair days, actually, and have bad days on occasion. Or if you have a bad week where it just seemed like, you know, connected things happening all week long, or even maybe it's the whole seem like your life is this series of unfortunate events where it's just one thing after another and you're kind of in this rut and there's these things that kind of keep coming against you. You can't quite get out of it. One negative thing after another. And the first thing that you do is start to blame the other people in your life. Or the first thing you do is start to blame yourself even. Then you might not be fully convinced that this verse is true and accurate, and you're probably not living like it is. Because things come up, things come at you, oh man, all of a sudden things are out of control at work, and this guy's screaming at you, and you don't even know what you did, and you're thinking that it's this guy's just a jerk, he's got problems, and you know, now you're looking at yourself going, I've got problems, and maybe it was my fault, and you start internalizing all this stuff. We may not be acknowledging that our battle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against spiritual powers and wickedness and dark places and all these things that are coming against us. Because there's something behind the scenes that is at work all the time. We prayed this morning for Holy Spirit, come and fill this place. Holy Spirit's already in the place, okay? But we're praying that His power is manifested to the point that we see it and it can acknowledge it even more, okay? But the point is that there's a spiritual realm that we live in. The battle that is going on around you is much bigger than what you can see with your eyes and what you can hear with your ears. It just is bigger than that. There's more to it than that. Okay? But our society has been programmed little by little. Okay, it hasn't all been at once. It's getting, seems like pretty fast right now, but it's been programmed little by little, okay, to take the focus off of the spiritual and to put it on the natural, to put it on the physical, to put it on the carnal wisdom of men, okay, to seek our answers and to gain our wisdom from that. I'll tell you, it's so easy anymore to Google it. Okay, or to search for some other manner. I know I've talked about that before, but it's just so easy to do that. I'll give a little example, okay? A little off-the-note example. So this last week, I got hurt at when I was changing a tractor tire, and I literally crushed the tip of my finger. And it, you know, bloomed up. It's gone, the swelling's gone down a little bit now, but I've had to drill holes in my fingernail, let the pressure out, all that kind of stuff. And in the process, one of the first things I did, I wouldn't even take my glove off, right? I just knew it was bad. I happened to be wearing a leather glove at the time, thank God for that. And I got home, and eventually I kind of had to finish up some things and take the tires off, do all that stuff. And I got home, and I go into Margie, and I didn't even have my glove off. I'm just holding my hand like this, and she knew something was wrong. She said, "What's the matter? What's the matter?" I said, "I crushed my hand. I crushed my finger." And I haven't even looked at it yet. We pulled the glove off, and of course, it's black, you know, all the way up. We prayed about it. Margie laid hands and prayed. Okay, that was one of the first things we did. But about the one and a half thing that we did was to Google, what do you do for a crushed finger? Okay, because we wanted some of that. Okay, and sure enough, there's answers. Okay, you can find out, oh, you do this, and you put ice, and you do this, and that, you know, drill the hole, and here's how you do it. We tried following the drill the hole directions. It didn't work. I had to go get a little Dremel and do it myself in a different way. Three times. Okay. But it helps, okay? Believe me, I didn't even feel it. It was good. The point is that there's other options out there, okay? Now, we went to God first. He was one of the first answers, okay? Let's get God working on this. But then also went to man's wisdom. And that is our society. It's just part of the way it is, right? We have that access. You know, if kids are going through stuff and you know, they might Google it before they even come to their parents, but a lot of, they're going to go get manly wisdom on it. God's hopefully working through some people to be able to help with that. But the point is, our society has sort of programmed us to go to other sources first, even before we go to God. Rather, what we should have is a biblical worldview, okay, that is based on God. It's based on God's Word. And that He is our source of information, okay? So that when we see God and have Him as our worldview, that everything's kind of filtered God first and then the world, okay, we're more apt to live and walk by faith. You know, what does God's Word say about what's happening in our world right now? What does God say about a virus? What does God say about, you know, individual circumstances in your life right now? What is God's opinion? What is, you know, because you're going to get opinion. Right, you'll get all kinds of opinion. We don't even get news anymore. We get opinionated verbiage, okay, whatever you want to call it. Being nice, okay. But what goes on in your life? God knows about those things. God created the heavens and the earth. Okay, open your Bible, read the very first part. Right, God created the heavens and the earth. He created you and He created me, and He knows perfectly what is happening in your life right now. He knows why it is happening, and He knows if there is something that you can do or something maybe you should refrain from doing that would actually make your life better. He is the one that we should be getting our information from on what to do next. Okay? Everybody say this. Say, God is the source,
God is the source.
I want to get my information from. Okay, He has the ultimate answer for what you're seeking after. He will get it to you one way or another. He has. My pastor used to say years ago, he said, God has your number. Okay, when He wants to get a hold of you, He can. He's got your number. He knows how to reach you. Okay, He has your email too. He has your Facebook account. He has you all figured out. So often when very smart people, okay, in our society, they tend to call them experts. Okay, so often when the experts start figuring things out, okay, they are often sorely misguided because they're leaving faith, love, and God completely out of the picture. I mean none. Okay, that how to fix your smashed finger, they didn't mention God once. They didn't say maybe you ought to pray about it. Okay, they didn't say call your friends, have them pray for you. It didn't say any of that. Okay, it was without God, faith, or love in any way, shape, or form. I heard one say on a news broadcast the other day, they said, science doesn't care about your feelings. Anybody ever heard that? Okay, science doesn't care about your feelings. I heard another one that said, facts, F-A-C-T-S, okay, facts, don't care about your feelings. Facts don't care about your feelings. And there may be some truth to that. Some factual information is not taken into account. Drilling a hole in your fingernail, they didn't say anything about there. This might hurt. Okay, they weren't caring about me in that sense, but it was giving me the facts that this is one proven way that it works and is often a good way to do it. Facts don't care about your feelings. But guess who doesn't care about facts? God. God says, by faith, you can move a mountain. God says, by faith, you can walk on water. We've heard of people other than Jesus that did that. By faith, you pray and health and healing comes. Okay, these are things that are not based on facts. Okay, it's based on faith towards God. God says that by the stripes of Jesus Christ, I am healed. I take that. God is not moved by facts. He is moved by faith. Okay, I've heard another term in the news lately that says, science says, and then da-da-da-da-da, fill in the blank. Okay, and I heard it a couple times, and I thought, you know, that's an interesting one. I'm going to Google it. So I Googled just the two words science says to see what came up. You know, what's the trending topic that science is saying a lot about? And the one phrase, the most recent topics that came, probably 8 out of the top 10, is about the reopening of schools in the COVID-19 era. Okay, science says. Science has an opinion about this, in other words. The headline of a Washington, D.C.-based publication is called The Hill. It declares, science says, open the schools. The Denver Post headline said, science points to in-person learning as safe amid COVID-19 pandemic, but is it safe enough for Colorado school districts? So they had a couple of opinions in there. The New York Post headline says, science says, and then in quotes or parentheses, again, open the schools. Okay, trying to jump on top of what the Washington Post had said, so they're in top, in line with that. Even a top headline of the now famous factcheck.org. Anybody ever heard of that? Okay, the now famous website, factcheck.org, the top of their page said, what science says about children, COVID-19, and school reopening. So again, it's all pointing to what science says. Okay, now don't get me wrong, I'm not anti-science in any way. I actually think science is pretty fascinating. I kind of excelled at science kind of related classes in high school and college because I find it interesting enough, compelling enough to hold my interest. And also, I'm a memorization guy, or I was at least back then, I probably still am, that facts don't change, okay? If it's a certain number of miles from Earth to Moon, it's the same, or, you know, pi, or, you know, a 90-degree angle is always a 90-degree angle. So if you could memorize certain things, you could excel in those classes or in those grades. That's what I found. Okay, so I kind of related to it, kind of liked it for that. I think that we can learn a lot from scientific research, okay? And they're figuring out how things work. Okay, we can understand things better, know how it ticks, what makes things function. Okay, but science and God are not the same thing. Okay, we understand some things through science, but the Bible says it is by faith we know. Okay, and there's a scripture in it that says, by faith we know. And it goes on to describe, and I didn't bring it up, but it goes on to describe how the worlds were framed by the Word of God. okay, and that the heavens and the earth are made by Him, and that we can trust and believe in Him because the things that we see were made by something that was not visible. Okay, I used that scripture a couple weeks ago, if you remember. But it starts that verse out as, remember, it says, by faith we know. Okay, it is by faith that we know the things that God wants us to know best. Okay, it is by faith that we understand some of these things. 1 John 2:20 tells us that you have an unction from the Holy One and you know all things. Okay, that's a spiritual reference to the unction of the Holy One. Okay, it's an unseen. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, as it is written, eye has not seen, neither ear nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things that which God has prepared for them that love Him. But God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit, searching, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, even the deep things of God. Okay, God reveals things to us through His Spirit. Okay, that's why we're inviting God, Holy Spirit, fill this place, let it fill the atmosphere, because we're going to get revelation knowledge from God through His Holy Spirit. That is what quickens inside of you. Faith is a key factor in that, but it kicks in and it makes it so that God can actually speak to us some of the deeper things of God. Okay, He gets His point across to us. God reveals things to us through His Spirit, not by an op-ed article in a newspaper. Okay, not by a newscaster's opinion, but by His Spirit He is revealing things to us. I believe that you can literally turn off all sources of news and not suffer one bit. Because the Holy Spirit will give you what you need to know. Okay, I lived as a young man, a young believer, many years without ever having TV. I've told this story before. My parents came out to visit me. And they're like, what? You don't have a TV? That's kind of weird. We need to buy you a TV. And so we went garage sailing, and they bought me a TV and furniture and some other stuff. They thought it was weird I was sitting on beanbags studying my Bible. Okay, but they bought a TV, and it sat again for years. I never even plugged it in. Okay, because I had no desire for that, and yet I was thriving in my walk with God. I was waking up in the middle of the night with revelations of what God was doing in our country or what was happening in my life or the lives of people around me, and able to get up and write stuff down, and God's Word was just alive and all those things. Because I didn't have any other source for news, I got what I needed exactly from the Word of God and from His Spirit and by worshiping and spending time with Him. Okay, that's the blessing of understanding that God is our source for anything that we may need in our life. You know, the things of the world around us they're carnal, they're sensual. Okay, they are understood only through the five senses. But there is a whole lot more to it than what your five senses can pick up on. That's what I'm after. I'm after the things of God because God is unseen. He's in this realm, and I want to understand the things that are coming behind the scene. What is really going on? I believe God is the creator of all things in heaven and earth. Okay, and that all things of God, which consequently are all things because God made all things, that they are spiritually discerned. The Bible tells us that. Okay, Proverbs 16:4 tells us this, that the Lord made all things for Himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. That's a hard one to grasp sometimes. But it says that God made all things for Himself. John chapter 1, verse 3 says that all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. God is the Creator, right? There's no Creator 1, Creator 2. There's no secondary. It's the Creator. That's our Savior. That's our Creator. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12-14. It says that now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is from God, so that we might know the things that are freely given to us by God. Which things also we then speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. To understand even the world that we live in, it is best to get your information from God, the Creator, the Source, the one that made all things, created all things for himself. What this passage means is that you have a huge advantage over a lost person who has not received the Spirit of the Lord, okay, that has not been born of the Spirit. Okay, because you can understand, because of the Spirit of God in you, you can understand the spiritual realm. Okay, which even that also tells us that this passage tells us that that involves all things because God made all things. God, who is a spirit, created all things, making them spiritual. Okay, so we are to compare spiritual things with spiritual things. Okay, if we're born of the Spirit, we should be walking in the Spirit, correct? We should be living according to the Spirit of God. Since we are spiritual and God made everything spiritual, we have to go through life knowing and understanding the spiritual roots of everything that we encounter. Okay, it makes it so much easier when someone's screaming at you and you see and discern the spiritual nature of what's really happening. They're not screaming at me. They don't like Jesus in me and it's making them uncomfortable and they're letting it out. Okay, or whatever that situation is. You can put yourself in 100 different situations, and if you're seeing the spiritual entities behind it, it is going to give you a peace. You don't have to get worked up over it. You don't have to be so confronted by that or feel like it's a personal attack on you. When you have Christ, the Holy Spirit of God in you, you're going to, things are going to get stirred up in the spiritual realm. Okay, now one of the reasons I'm promoting this remembrance of the spiritual realm in our lives is because many of the things that are happening right now in our society are bigger than what the human mind could have even come up with. Okay, there is such an orchestrated thing going on in our world right now that is bigger than mankind. I'll tell you, there's some pretty evil, smart people that probably sat around the room and tried to figure out how to destroy America or how to destroy the world or how to make it, manipulate it so it serves them better or whatever. But they, I do not even believe that they corporately have enough brain power to orchestrate all the things that are going on right now. It's bigger than human. It's bigger than mere men and women. Okay, some of the events that we're seeing that are things that are leading up to the return of Christ and are demonically, satanically inspired to try to orchestrate something to bring to pass. You know how on a sidestep, but how dumb the devil is to think that killing Jesus on the cross was the answer. Okay, he's kind of dumb that way. Okay, thinking this will end Christianity, this will make, you know, it's thousands of years later and Christianity is still strong. We still have the most common book in a household is still the Bible. Okay, it didn't work. Okay, in other words, what's happening right now, we don't have to be afraid of it. Like, oh man, the devil finally got one up on God. He's going to destroy us. No, if the devil's doing some stuff, God's in it. Okay, to the point that he has got to be behind the scenes, orchestrating, seeing what's happening. God's not forgotten. God's not missing anything. And so the devil's not pulling one over on God. Okay, so rest assured that we're okay as Christian believers. Keep serving Almighty and it's going to be okay. Okay, because some of those things that are demonically inspired are just being carried out by people that have given their will over to him. They have taken God out of their life to the point they are easily persuaded and they're bringing about some things in life. But if you're listening to the Spirit, okay, if you're listening to the Holy Spirit, none of what is going on will be a surprise to you either. Because it's not a surprise to God. God's connected with me through His Holy Spirit. I can understand what is actually going on. It's not going to catch you off guard because it's not catching God off guard. I'll give you some examples. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20 and 21. Here's what God knew thousands of years ago. Isaiah 5:20 says, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight." We have a lot of that going on right now. And it wasn't a surprise back then. God told Isaiah, tell the people this. Okay, and he has told us so that we also do not have to be surprised when there are groups of people doing evil thinking they're doing the right thing. Okay, we don't have to get distracted. It's not just shrug your shoulders at it like, oh, God knew that, I knew that. Okay, Matthew 24, verse 9. Okay, Matthew 24, if you know, talks a lot about the coming of the end of the age. Okay. Matthew 24, 9 through 12 says, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, talking to Christians, and they shall kill you. And you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake, Jesus said. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. I don't want to be a cold one. Okay, I don't want to be in that scenario right there. Because of the iniquity is abounding. Okay, sometimes we see that. Sometimes the easy way is to just, whew, I guess it's not worth it anymore. I guess it's not happening. I guess, you know, life is over, whatever. But that's not where we want to go with our love for the Lord. We keep it strong and fervent and keep that fire burning within us, because we know that God prophesied that when iniquity is abounding, the love of many will wax cold. It's going to grow weak. It's going to get, you know, it's like the flame going out. Okay, I'm not wanting to go that direction, and I don't want to lead you in that direction either. John 16, 1 through 3. Jesus explains this pretty well. He said, these things have I spoken unto you, so that you will not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. I'm going to stop right there. Do you know how many churches are having church out in the parking lots, out on beaches, out in parks today because they were put out of the church building? They could not do that. Okay, I'm not saying that's exactly what this is referring to, but boy, that stood out to me as I'm like, whew, look at all those churches in California right now that are having church outside because they could still do that, right? Okay, so they shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time comes that whosoever kills you will think that he is doing God's service. And these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. How could these things be if there was not a dark spiritual force behind it that is leading that to make people think they're right trying to snuff out Christianity or do away with Christians to try to keep you from speaking about Jesus? Faith, love, hope, pretty good stuff in Christianity. Why would you want to snuff that out or keep that out of schools or out of places or families? Or why would you want to keep that out? I think this verse gives us a key to understanding that. It is the absence of God. So they do not... They do this unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. Okay? The absence of God, or at least the perceived absence of God. God is everywhere. But it gives free rein for these demonic activities to take place. They are pushing God aside to the point they're not listening at all to the Spirit of God. Even recent events in our country where governors non-elected health officers have a power and authority right now in our day and age to shut down states and businesses. We went through all this stuff, right? I mean, we saw that happening. It's still going around. Even churches have been kind of shut down or made to move or not be able to meet in buildings. That power and authority, the law behind that, is not some long-standing law that's always been on the books and all of a sudden it comes into play in this day and age. It was a hidden in legislative things that got pushed through in very recent years, orchestrated, that was pushed and silently went through the legislature in all 50 states, making that possible to happen in 2020. It's not just one or two states that kind of authority went through, or that rule that made it so they had that went through, but all the states had it pushed through so that what we are seeing in our country right now could happen. That, to me, is bigger than mankind. Okay, that took some pretty orchestrated stuff behind the scenes to make things like that happen. I think mankind can be pretty devious, pretty outright deceptive at times, but for that to happen is bigger than what mere man and woman could come up with. We're in a battle right now for our lives, okay, to a certain extent. We're in a battle, I'll get into that a different day. We're in a battle for our sanity. Okay, how many people think you might be losing it? Okay, I talked about that earlier. You're not alone if you're grabbing the milk when you think it was ketchup. Okay, you're not alone when you're putting the milk away in the freezer or the cupboard, or, you know, you're doing goofy stuff. Okay, yeah, we're not alone in that. Okay, we're in a battle for our sanity right now, and the tendency is to look at the natural and to say, things are out of hand. Some people are thinking, what can we do? I want to get involved. I want to help make a difference. I want to help to change the way things are going. I want to take a little of that control back, but it just seems like there's nothing that I can do about it. And if you're looking in the natural, okay, there is only maybe a few things that you can do about it. You can speak up. You can speak out. Okay, you can protest. You can stand in the gap, okay, for the cause of righteousness and stand up for Christ and say, I've got the answer. His name is Jesus. You can do some of those things. That's more in the natural sense. Verbally and outwardly, you can defend your rights and liberties in that manner. I believe you have a strong voice through your vote. Okay, I would hope that this year when we come up on elections, August 18th is a primary in our county, that not one Christian will not take that opportunity. I pray that we all do our part. We all get involved. Okay, on one side or the other. At least we have that as something that we can do. But the real battle is even bigger than the polling booth, okay, or the voting booth. The real battle where we can be the most effective, where we can actually change and begin to see things happening, is not in the natural, but it's in the spiritual realm. Okay, the bigger battle is the spiritual one that is very heated right now, okay, very escalated right now, and it can only be engaged in and won by the body of Christ when we rise up in repentance and prayer. To lift our voice unto God and say, God, I see something that's bigger than me, and I'm taking it to you, and I'm laying it out there because you're the one that knows and can answer and can help and that can do something that I cannot do. I think admitting that maybe we've become a little complacent in areas. Maybe we've given in to some of the fear and the anxiety kind of stuff. Maybe that the pressure of the silent forms of persecution and some of those things that we've neglected maybe to stand up for Jesus where we might have had the opportunity. I think the church has taken, in some ways, a reactive approach to what's happening in our country, and the spreading of the good news has become more reactive instead of proactive. Okay, we've allowed God to seemingly be taken out of our society, and it's led to a lot of the problems that we're seeing right now. But 2 Chronicles 7:14, many of you know by heart, God said that if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. When we realize that the nature of our battle is in the spiritual realm, okay, we realize that the most strategic, the most beneficial thing that we can do right now is to fervently pray and turn the battle over to God's capable hands. James reminded us that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman avails much. Okay? We are to pray fervently, to pray earnestly. The Bible even says pray continuously. Okay, ongoing. It doesn't have to be some long, drawn-out, 24-hour prayer, but pray continuously throughout your day. Okay, you think about what's going on. You think about somebody. You think about something somebody shared with you that they're going through. Lift it up in prayer. That's praying continuously. The Bible tells us how God gave very specific instructions to His people about how to most effectively engage in battle. And I want to end with this. God spoke through the priests to encourage the people to stand strong in faith. Okay, it's an Old Testament passage out of Deuteronomy chapter 28. Excuse me, chapter 20. The first four verses of that. Deuteronomy 20 verse 1 says, he's giving them instructions. Here's how you do it. When thou goest out to battle against thine enemies, and you see horses and chariots and a people that are more than thou, be not afraid of them, for the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And it shall be, when you are come nigh unto the battle, that the priest shall approach and speak unto the people. And he shall say unto them, Hear, O Israel, you approach this day unto battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts be faint. Fear not, and do not tremble. Neither be ye terrified because of them. For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies and to save you. Okay, now I'm not claiming to be an Old Testament priest of God, but I do know I'm called to pastor. And as a pastor, I also want to encourage you to stand strong in faith. Okay, see the battle for what it really is. Okay, it's not you against the world. It's not you against an army. It is the Lord God Almighty and His army of angels, all at His disposal, standing against, fighting against every force of darkness that could possibly rise up against you. The battle is in the spirit. The Bible also tells us about more about spiritual battle and how to engage in it. It says things like when the people at times they would go into battle and it says, we see the enemy in front of us and we see the enemy behind us and we are about to be consumed. And at that moment, the Bible describes in I think it was in Chronicles as well, where they dropped down on their face, got before God, cried out to Him and said, God, save us. And God heard and answered and delivered and fought their battle for them. It's about coming to God, calling out to Him. You know, some of you are probably feeling like you're in the middle of your battle right now, and that, you know, there's just everywhere you look, there's evil around you, and you're not sure what to do. It's time to cry out to the Lord. It's time to say, God, I'm overwhelmed here. I can't do this. I need you. And He will hear and answer that prayer. The Lord told His people in 2 Chronicles 20:15, Thus saith the Lord unto you, Be not afraid, nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Two verses later, 20:17, He said, You shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. Then the people of God would fall down on their faces. They get down on the ground and worship God, cry out to Him, and He would deliver them. If you read the story of the Israelites, it happens over and over and over again. They seem to be overwhelmed by their enemies. They cry out to God. God delivers them. And He delivered us through Jesus Christ. He gave us an out. He gave us the power to live and to walk out the life that we have right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Your battles are spiritual in nature. Okay, see them as such. The battle our country is going through right now is spiritual in nature. Okay, you have to remember that our help comes from the Lord. Okay, keep looking up. Keep looking to Him with your heart reaching out to Him. Humble yourself. Okay, cry out to Him. Admit that you need help. That's really what it takes. That's what humbling means. Just you're dependent on God. I can't do it. It's got to be God. Remember the disciples in the boat? They thought they were going to sink. And they said, Lord, help us. We're going to perish. Okay, they just cried out to Him. And what happened? The Lord got up and fought the battle. Okay, they admitted that they needed the help. I'm sure they were scooping water out as fast as they could. And Jesus is sleeping in the back of the boat. And they finally wake Him up and say, Lord, you got to save us. Or we're going to perish. Okay, and He stops. He fights the battle for them. That's what God is waiting for so many of us to do, that we're going through and we're fighting and we're still panning the water out. We're doing it on our own. And God is saying, just stop. Ask Me. Cry out to Me. Okay? Open your heart to Him and say, God, I can't do it. I'm going to perish. And He's right there to help us. Amen. Amen. Father, we're praising You this morning. I'm grateful again, Lord. Your Word is such a life giver, so encouraging to us, Lord, that we know where our help comes from. We know that we can trust You. We know that we can depend and rely on You. We can lean on You at a 180-degree angle, Lord. We can get and lay it all on You, Father, knowing that You care for us, You help us, You will take us through any and every circumstance that we encounter in our life. Lord, I pray as we go through our day, help us to see through, to see behind the scenes, to see what's really pushing or coming at us, and acknowledge it and turn that over to You, saying, Lord, I'm giving this battle to You. I'm giving You this area in my life. I'm giving You my relationships or my finances or my health or whatever it is. Lord, we're giving it over to You to trust and believe that You will take care of us as Your dear children. Father, we're loving You this morning. We're praising You again for that love You have for us. You poured it out through Jesus, through His blood, through Your Holy Spirit to empower us now to live life, to understand life, and to live it according to You and Your Spirit. Father, may Your Word stand out to us as the way, the solution, the answer. And may we draw from You and Your Word on a daily, moment-by-moment basis. Father, we're trusting You this morning. Have Your way in our hearts. Have Your way in this community. And take us deeper and deeper with You, Father. We praise You in Jesus' name. We all say, amen. Amen, amen and amen. Glory to God. Amen and amen. Amen and amen. Let the Lord fight your battles.